and welcome to Futures Focus, a fantasy baseball podcast centering around all the top prospects in the game, brought to you by Prospects 1500. My name is Alex Sanchez. Thank you again for joining us on what will be the last of our six-part series of going over 50 prospects for each division. For 6 weeks in a row, we have finally got to the end, boys and girls. So if you've listened to all the other podcasts so far, thank you. The journey is just about complete. If you have not listened to the other podcasts, please go ahead and go back in the last couple of weeks and check it out. These have gone very long. We're usually trying to keep this to 45 to an hour. All of the podcasts we've done in the last couple of weeks have gone over an hour. In fact, they're pushing closer to two, especially if you go with the special episode we had going over our aggregate top 199, which is a super special episode. So after this one, go ahead and download and listen to that other one if you have not done so. I know that one's going to be a popular one. But anyway, without further ado, let me introduce my guest for tonight. Nate Eckert making an appearance again for what, the fourth time this new season, is joining me tonight.
Yes, sir. Yeah, hello.
Absolutely. And we have our Angels correspondent, Andrew Rhodes, who's going to be helping us with the AL West. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, Andrew, Nate and I, all sort of Southern California ties here. So this will be a fun one for us. We are going to be talking about, of course, your Angels, but then the rest of the AL West. And we kind of just chatted about it before we went on air. This division may not have as top-end type of talent when it comes to prospects, but that's okay. This is definitely a division where you're going to find guys that make an impact, but perhaps not at that all-star level. Do you think that's pretty fair to say, Nate?
Yeah, definitely. Like we were just saying, not too many tier one guys in the AL West because right now, it's pretty competitive. The Rangers are probably the only team I'm thinking about that hasn't really contended just in the past couple of years. So I think, with the A's, they're always going to be in the hunt. The Astros are obviously the Astros. The Angels, sorry, Andrew, they've been struggling a little bit. Yeah, but
they've been angeling it up. I understand.
But I think the MLB play is a bit elevated, and therefore, of course, usually unless you're the Dodgers, your system is not going to be as prevalent, usually, because when you make a deal for a higher ranking, MLB regular, you have to give away prospects. And I think that's what we're seeing here.
Yeah. So the Astros, we're going to go ahead and start with them because they're either everybody's most hated team or you're a fan of the Astros. I don't think there's really anything in between. Although as a Braves fan, I sort of like appreciate the Astros. They gave us a World Series championship and they've really never harmed us in any way, but I know they've definitely harmed you guys in the Dodgers and Angels land. Mm-hmm. So,
oh,
let's get them out of the way first. Now, with the Astros, they've sort of gotten this mantra of being able to develop players really, really well and bringing out the best in players, whether it be unlocking things in the lower minors that nobody really thought they were capable of. And, you know, with prospects, there's not a lot of room when it comes to getting a spot. You kind of have to make sure that you take that spot, and you can ask Jeremy Peña. He was a guy that was a fringe top 100 guy about this time last year, and now we're talking about a World Series MVP. He definitely seized the moment. If you don't seize the moment on this team, you're not going to be lasting too long. So there are some openings. You know, Jose Abreu did come over to replace Gurriel, and you had Peña kind of taking over. But the team's definitely getting a little bit older otherwise with Altuve and Bregman, you know, Yordan and Kyle Tucker, certainly some of the best dynasty assets in the game. But no tier one players here. I think there are some people out there that might make the argument that Hunter Brown deserves to be in the tier one. I like him a lot, and I just couldn't float him up high enough in my rankings personally to have him as a tier one player, but I think that he has a chance to be a fantastic asset for you in Dynasty this year. He's really good. What do you think, Andrew?
Yeah, I think he's probably one of the safest players in the entire division's farm system, because I think at worst you're going to get a high leverage reliever, right? Because I don't think there's a question that his stuff can play in the big leagues, right? We saw it. I think it's all about, does the command stay what it seemed like last year, right? He made two starts, and so I mean that doesn't give you enough information, but if he can't, he's always going to be a high leverage reliever. But if they can hit on the ceiling on him, you know, he's going to be a really, really good starter for a long time.
Now, the problem with Hunter Brown is the rotation is stacked. And these guys are pretty healthy, except for the obvious exception of one guy, Lance McCullers, with Valdez, Javier, Garcia, and Urquidy not really having any injury history. And they're probably set. So luckily for Hunter Brown and unluckily for Lance McCullers, there does seem to be an opening, and there really isn't much after Hunter Brown that could take over. So
no,
he's the fifth starter out of the gate, I think, don't you, Nate?
Yeah, I agree. McCullers is always just a total toss up whether or not, like, how many months we're going to see. Like, we could do, I'm sure there's like a Vegas side bet that you could do, like the over under on months that McCullers will actually toe the mound. I would probably go, like, I'm pretty sure like 2.5 would be a solid over under in Vegas right now. So yeah, Hunter Brown, I would love to see him have a shot at the fifth spot. Until he loses it, I think it's his by default, just because of McCullers isn't healthy as of right now, is he?
No, that's what I'm saying. He's got that spot unless he has a terrible spring, I'd imagine.
Yeah, I would imagine that as well. Plus, somebody else is going to have to come up, or they get a free agent. I don't know what they're going to do, but I could definitely see Brown coming out of spring with the job, and he's got enough talent where he could really run with it. I mean, geez, look at Christian Javier and Luis Garcia the past couple of years. You know, they went. I mean, Javier just last year was in and out of the bullpen. As frustrating as that was for me when I had him in my redraft league. But eventually he ended up winning it over, and now I don't think he'll be going anywhere, period.
All right, Nate, when we were at the Futures game, I knew almost everybody really, really well. There was one guy there, though, that I had no real background on. I maybe had heard the name, but it's Yadier Diaz, the catcher / first baseman. He came to that Futures game, and he put on quite a show in batting practice. I was very, very impressed with him, especially since, like, I really knew nothing about him. He had a pretty good game, if I recall correctly. I'd have to double check that, but 24 years old, like, this guy's ready to go. And as a Braves fan, I got to know the Astros team really well, and one of the greatest times for me as a Braves fan facing the Astros was when Martin Maldonado was up. Because he never did anything except one time in Game 5, the one I was actually at in Atlanta. But I digress. Other than that, he is not very good offensively, so there is a position. Corey Lee's there as well, who I kind of like as well. But Diaz seemingly has this path, and if he can hit to be in this lineup, there's some sneaky dynasty appeal here, especially if you can, you know, put him at first base at times to spell Jose Abreu. And he's pretty good behind the plate as well, so he can definitely get some opportunities this year. He might be one of the most underrated catching prospects in baseball, Andrew.
Yeah, I think he's really good. I have a problem seeing him play like a ton of time unless Maldonado starts feeling like his body can't take it. I just think they're so in love with Maldonado over there. It's hard. I think if perhaps after this season, I could see him getting more playing time. But if I had to guess, he's going to be a backup and probably with Maldonado catching over 100 games So that's kind of what I expect. But I do think you could definitely see him in first base. And I mean, with that bat, he did well throughout his whole all the minors. I mean, quite a bit of it was in pitcher friendly park or hitter friendly parks. You know, with Corpus Christi or with the Texas League. PCL obviously is famous for that, and Asheville is a notorious hitter park as well. But I could definitely see him put up some good numbers and hopefully see that starting catching spot next year, obviously depending on what happens with Maldonado.
Okay, I'm going to push back a little bit here, Andrew. Okay. I know what you're saying about those parks, but Houston's a good place to hit too. Now, let's do a pop quiz, guys. 2020, Martin Maldonado hit what batting average-wise?
217.
Close.
200. Very good. Very nice, Nate. 215. In 2021, Martin Maldonado hit what for the World Series appearing Astros?
180s?
172. And last year, Martin Maldonado hit?
I'm guessing 150.
186.
Oh, so, gosh. Okay.
That's horrible. And now it does come with 15 home runs last year, 12 home runs as well. But now you take the ballpark into consideration, plus you take the jump to the big leagues. Sure. But we're talking about back-to-back 90-plus RBI seasons, 300-plus batting average last two seasons. Like, I'm just saying, like, if they I don't see the Astros struggling offensively. So, I mean, that's the thing. That also, by the way, Maldonado is 36 years old this year. Like, Jose Abreu stinks. Altuve gets hurt. Bregman regresses. Pena regresses. Like, and they need offense. Boom. There it is. Diaz is up and ready to go. So
I could definitely see that.
Diaz also is a exit velo darling. He crushes the ball. So it's real. I don't think that he was getting CNI singles and beating out, you know, infield swinging bunts. He really gets a hold of the ball, and that's probably why he put on such a show for you, Alex, during batting practice at the Futures game.
I was super impressed with him, and I'm looking at the rankings, and he didn't even come close to our top 100. No. He's, I've seen him have RotoWire up right now at 180. This guy is not on anybody's radar. And catching prospects wise, he's a bat first, decent catcher. I don't see, we're gonna talk about maybe Shea Langeliers a little bit. Honestly, people are gonna take Shea Langeliers 100 times over him, but it might not be right. Anyway. I do need to take a short break here and talk about our sponsor, Fantrax, because it is March. That means we're just about a month away from actual baseball that counts, although I'm enjoying spring training a lot. But this is the month where you're going to want to scratch that fantasy baseball urge, and you need to sign up on Fantrax for a brand new league so that you can get entered into the new contest for March. It is going to be a league trip, if you will, a field trip to a ball game of your choice. So if you're in a 10-team league, 12-team league, 13, 14, whatever, you're going to take your entire league, if you win the contest, out to a ball game of your choosing, which would be a lot of fun. And you can only get that if you sign up for a new league today on Fantrax, which you absolutely should do because it is the best platform out there for baseball and for any sport. It doesn't matter. The customization that you can have here is insane. I'm in the middle of a draft in multiple leagues right now, and I love the new format that they have. You can check your roster. You can check the queue. I mean, everything is so streamlined and ready to go. It's clearly the best. We've talked about it for weeks and weeks on end here. So again, you need to go to fantrax.com/prospects1500 and sign up. And as soon as you sign up, you'll be entered in. And every time you sign up after that, you will also be entered in. It's for new leagues. Doesn't matter how many, no limit. So go ahead and do that. And make sure you do that Prospects 1500 because it does give us a little bit of the credit. It doesn't increase your odds or anything like that. I wish I could say that it did, but alas, it does not. But still, we get the credit for that, and we appreciate that as well. So again, fantrax.com/prospects1500 and sign up today. All right, so we spent a lot of time on those two guys, and I think it's well worth it because we're going to see them in the big leagues this year. Now, let's talk about some guys that are a little bit further away. Nate, I'm going to go ahead and divert this one to you because Drew Gilbert is somebody that you probably have a good idea about. I know Drew Gilbert from his swag in college. That guy had the most swag I've ever seen in college baseball. The Bryce Harper, if Bryce Harper played college baseball, it's what Drew Gilbert did. What do you think about Drew Gilbert? He's up at number three for us at the Astros.
Yeah, I like Gilbert a lot. He's like a five tooler, but all of his skills seem to be above average. He's a great athlete, and he's been able to really sneak in there. I didn't know about his swag in college. It was only after the Astros drafted him when I started really looking into him. And I like Gilbert a lot. He has every opportunity, you know, the next few years to perhaps take up an extra spot in the outfield. Who do they have? They have Tucker out there right now. I'm trying to think of who else.
The outfield is definitely open. It's Chaz, yeah. McCormick, Brantley, yeah. I guess, is technically an outfielder. But
an oft-injured outfielder nowadays.
Yes. So,
wide open, actually, really.
Yeah, he's got a hell of an opportunity to keep that swag rolling and make his way into Houston. And, you know, Houston's pretty aggressive when it comes to promotions. I know they are with their pitchers. I don't know how much. Like Kyle Tucker, I remember he got a pretty early opportunity, but I also remember people were getting upset about him not getting called up fast enough. But I think he was called up a little too quick because he struggled quite a bit before he got it going. But I think the opportunity is there, but it's going to take a year or two for sure.
Andrew, I got a comp for you that will hit close to home for you. Are you ready for this?
Go for it.
Okay, imagine Darren Erstad, but with Bryce Harper's attitude.
Woo. Oh, so he is an all-out player with the flair for the dramatic. At least Bryce Harper was in his younger years. I don't think so much now, but like, definitely in his younger years.
I think he definitely is still. He loves. Oh, you think spotlight. So? I think he loves the spotlight.
It.
Yeah,
sure. I don't. I think he was a lot worse. I shouldn't say a lot worse. I should say he was a lot more flamboyant about it earlier on. Yeah. I will say that.
So with Gilbert, the big thing is that, like, you hate to play against him, but if he's on your team, you absolutely love him. And I think that's like that Bryce Harper gene. But then you also see that all out, I'm going to go through a wall for you, right, Darren Erstad type, right, because he did dislocate his elbow going into a center field wall in August. So I think.
Which is concerning as an outfielder, though. Sure. I will say, you got to be careful because injuries can really derail your career. Ask Brian Buxton.
He was for the Phillies and he ran into the wall and bloodied up his nose. Who is it? Who is that guy? You guys know what I'm talking about?
Oh, Victorino?
No, not Victorino. Oh, gosh.
How long ago was it?
Just a few years ago.
It wasn't the guy they traded away with on our team.
Aaron Rowland. Remember Aaron? Yeah.
No.
Aaron Rowland?
No, I don't remember him at
all.
You
remember that? He caught his ball and like went into the center field fence, and then his nose was just shattered and bloody.
Oh gosh,
crazy fun.
Oh, yeah.
Aaron Rowland. Sorry. Anyway, that was I didn't think we would be talking about Aaron Rowland tonight. So let's continue on.
Shout out.
Let's get off these Astros.
Okay.
There's just a few guys. Like, I was pretty impressed with Eric putting Colin Barber at number four ahead of Pedro Leon. I think the last two guys we probably could talk about, and then we can move on to your Angels here. Colin Barber, man, number four in a system with, you know, Pedro Leon, Will Wagner, Joe Perez, Forrest Whitley, even Corey Lee, who we mentioned earlier. That's pretty high. It doesn't have a huge write-up on him. You know, hit 307 home runs, speedy and tall,
kind of the description there. So he must see something in Colin Barber, because I'm certainly would rather have Pedro Leon, I think, than I'd probably put Pedro Leon too in this system, if I'm being completely honest. What do you think, Nate?
I would, yeah, definitely. He, you know, he did have a disappointing season last season, but he's shown in the past that he can hit, and he can hit at the higher levels too. So I like Leon a lot. I think he turns it back around this year.
Yeah, I mean, if he 228, 17 homers, 38 stolen bases at AAA, certainly
right.
disappointing, but fantasy wise, it would play. And he's going to be up soon. Like we mentioned that outfield, he's an outfielder now, essentially. He's not going to be playing on the dirt anytime soon, whether or not it's defensively or not. I mean, just this team is not going to allow him. So,
and with the new stolen base rule, or, you know, with the new pickoffs, you can only do two of them nowadays. So, you know, the speed game is going to come into, it's going to come to fruition a lot more than we think. And Leon's one of those burners. So
yeah, underrated system here. There's some guys down low too. I'll just mention really quickly. I like Alex Santos a lot. Injuries kind of with him are the caveat, but he has fantastic stuff. He's at number 15. There is, you know, like we said, some outfield openings there. Chaz McCormick was a guy that was kind of like on this list a year or two ago, and you know, you could see Joe Perez kind of make a difference as well. But anyway, let's move on to your Angels, Andrew. I made go through the Astros and to your team. All right, go ahead. Give me the lowdown on this system, and then I have a couple questions for you.
All right. So obviously we have Logan Ohapi and Zach Neto at the top. They Logan Ohapi, he looks like he's going to be their catcher for many years to come, at least in for the next 6 years, their starting catcher. He's got all the tools. He can hit. He can hit with power. The power may come later, a little bit later on this year. Maybe in the next year he'll hit more homers. But he's got everything that you would want in a catcher. Zach Neto really just drafted last year. They flew him through the minors. He's already made double A. He did really well with the Trash Pandas, and so I'm really excited. There's a leg kick that people worried about, but it doesn't seem to have bothered him. Obviously, the one that everybody talks about in this system is Quiero, Edgar Quiero, for that played for the 66ers last year. He hit and hit for good power, but there's some concerns about him sticking there defensively. After that, it's there's a lot of pitchers and some young guys that have shown promise, but still need to fulfill some of that with, you know, like somebody like Denzer Guzman, who needs more strength, Warner Blakely, who needs to stay healthy, Kyron Paris, who needs to show that he can hit consistently at the upper levels. He did well for his small stint, but needs to show it through full season. And then guys like David Calabrese, who didn't start off the best, but really finished very strong.
Okay, great recap. I love that because it does hit a lot of the guys that we definitely need to talk about. A couple of thoughts to just add on to that. Mm-hmm. Met Logan Ohapi at the Futures game. Yes. 80 grade handshake.
Oh,
his forearms are just like, oh my goodness, they are
firm but strong. Not overpowering, right?
And yeah, his politeness. Oh my gosh, out of everybody in that we met that day, like he was so cordial, so polite, asking about us. Like not many prospects, 19, 20, 21 year olds ask about you. And Gail, who I went with, you know, they had met before, and he was like asking about her and stuff like that. I was just really impressed with Ohapi and his batting practice. It was him and Shea Langeliers in Oakland, the Oakland catcher as well, that like they were taking batting practice really, really seriously. And guys like George Valera and Noel and Jordan Walker, they're kind of like messing around and having fun in batting practice. But Ohapi and Langeliers were like talking to Adrian Beltre and, hey, what do you want me to do with this round? How, six to the right side and two to the left? All right, got it. And like they would go in there and do it. So he's a major leaguer for sure. And
oh yeah,
I just hope that they start him out right away because let's go.
So, yeah, so far they like they had him catching Shohei Ohtani when he was here. They were trying to get him familiarized. I don't think there's any doubt that he's starting with the major league team. In fact, I could see him starting opening day.
The question is, though, for Brandon Marsh, like, what do you think, Andrew? Is that a trade that, like, you might want to redo? Or are you pretty happy with what that came of that?
I mean, if I'm the Phillies, I might want to redo it. But I like it. I mean, you're talking about Brandon Marsh, fantastic man. And by the way, if you're talking about you liked Ohtani as a person, Brandon Marsh is just as good, having met him, too. I mean, you're exchanging one guy that could be really good. You know, I think he can be like Brandon Marsh could be an 800 bat with plus defense, you know, fantastic for the Phillies. And I think Logan Ohtani could be fantastic for the Angels. I think it was a great trade. I was surprised by it, but it was good nonetheless.
Yeah. It was surprising for sure. You don't see those too often, but honestly, if you're getting that 10-year catcher, as opposed to an outfielder. Like, I mean, the Angels have plenty of outfielders that they can make do with. So,
oh yeah.
Zach Nato at tier one. That's the other question. Actually, I have a few more, but then Nate, feel free to chime in here as well. But Zach Nato, you're telling me he's a multiple time all-star. I like Nato. I think he's a major leaguer as well. To me, he's a guy that I just don't see him as an all-star caliber player. I think he's a guy that's going to be helpful for your team, but you're telling me all-star and multiple times with him. That's how confident you are in him.
Yeah, I think he could hit. I think the only thing that would keep him from hitting or getting to the all-star level would be the power, but I think he can hit for it. And I think he could hit 20 home runs. I mean, I think that actually gets you to an all-star type level, whether that he actually gets all-star or not, but I think that he can get that level to where you're like, yeah, he should have been an all-star, or he's an all-star. One of those two. I really do.
I agree. I'm with Andrew on Neto. I was at the draft this year, and just seeing the poise that he was walking around with, you know, some of the guys that were there were just on cloud nine. All of them were. I mean, let's be honest. But Neto just stuck out to me because it looked as if it wasn't like he had been there before, but you could tell he was the one in charge of like who he was going to speak with and how he was going to speak. And it wasn't like he was being led around. He was doing the leading. It was something that I picked up on that, you know, you don't really have a chance to see just from watching highlights. And then, you know, the next thing I know, the dude's in double A hitting 320. And, you know, it's like, I couldn't believe that they start him at single A advance?
They start him in high A.
Yeah. So, and then he ends up in double A. And not only did he start in high A, but he crushed the ball. So, and Alex, Alex knows this is my to live by motto that the power will come. I mean, if you hit the ball as well as Neto does, eventually, once that man strength starts kicking in, the power is going to come. I mean, look at Dustin Pedroia. That's my comp for Neto. So,
okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. I could see why everybody, all the scouts loved him. You know, it wasn't their top pick, but a lot of scouts loved him as a player.
So you had Nato perhaps getting called up mid-July, which I don't disagree with. I think he could be fast up to this Angels team for sure. But there's one guy that might beat him to the big leagues from that 2022 class, and he is on this same team, and we need to talk about him because he is so damn fun. Ben Joyce. Oh, he's breaking camp, right, Andrew, don't you think?
I am trying not to hype him up that hard. I am trying to, like, keep my expectations lower. You know, the guy, you know, he's throw throws triple digits with regularity. You know, he's got a sweeping slider, and then he had a cutter to pair with a slider, because those sweepers, they're very platoon dependent. So if you can get a cut, a one that goes the opposite way and helps you with the opposite handed batters, I mean, you could really make good work of them. And just, you know, I'm trying to keep my expectations low.
I'm glad you said that, because this is my theory when it comes to Ben Joyce. Mm-hmm. We all want to look so smart when it comes to these prospects. We know so much about these guys. The guy throws 105. All right. Let's not overthink this. Mm-hmm. You can't hit 105. Like, you can't. I don't care who the hell you are. You're not going to hit it consistently. Let's not overthink this. He's going to be the big leagues. He's going to be the eighth inning Aroldis Chapman, as you mentioned, closer in no time. Like, just get guy on your team. He's cheap. I picked him up for free in my dynasty league that has like 60 minor league spots. Everybody doesn't want to get on the Ben Joyce train because it's so easy to just say, well, he throws really hard. But like, let's just get on board. All right. I don't see the problem.
I don't see it either. I think the minute you saw him in Double A and you saw what he did, I think you should have been, oh yeah, I'm not worried about him. I'm not worried about him throwing in the strike zone. He did have that issue in college. That's why he wasn't a closer for the Tennessee, or even a high leverage reliever. But when he came to the Angels, they worked with him before he got to they put him to Double A. And when he got there, he was striking out everybody. He didn't walk very much, and he looked better. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
And you can walk people. I don't like Chapman. Sure. Isn't this control artist by any stretch. No. He did fine. You know, he doesn't have to be pinpoint. He just, like, come on, just bet on the arm there. Like,
yeah, exactly. He doesn't have to be walking everybody. He just needs to be consistent, you know?
Yeah. And the closer out there in Anaheim, Carlo Estevez, Jimmy Herjid. Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. The bullpen is it's not fantastic. I don't think it's as bad as everybody thinks, but it's not good. I honestly think that the bullpen will be made from within, or there'll be a trade somewhere. I just don't think they're going to end the season like this.
Like, okay, you're running a team. You're playing MLB The Show. You're playing over the line baseball, and you have a closer that throws 105. Like, how are you not plugging him in right away in your team? I just don't. I think everybody is overthinking this. He should be a top. He should be drafted in first year player drafts. Like, sorry, he should.
Fair
and
enough.
And he's not. He's not in the, like, everyone that I'm in. That doesn't go like as crazy as ours, Nate.
What was I looking at? I was reading this thing on FanGraphs, right? There was a chat from Eric Longenhagen, and they were talking about the top 100, and he had a reliever, and he's like, a scout told him, you know, if you're going to have him, why not have Ben Joyce?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So
I'm just saying, just go get him. Like, what? Mm-hmm. Okay, so he doesn't, if he flames out, whatever. Like, yeah. Half these prospects we're talking about are going to flame out anyway. But, like, he's the most obvious reliever that's going to get you a huge, like, he's going to have 15K per nine.
And there's nothing blocking him either. There's not a great bullpen there at all.
Nobody's blocking him.
If you're playing in a league that is saves only, I mean, sure. How are you going to get, like, do you really want to go trade for Emmanuel Clase or Josh Hader and have to give up, like,
one third of all closers get replaced throughout the season. So, I mean, I think it was one third, or it's either one third gets replaced or one third retains their job. It's a heavy rotation position.
I hate closers in fantasy.
That's why I want to get him for free. Yeah. I want to get him for free, and Ben Joyce is free right now.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So, this team, the Angels, every year I do this, and maybe you do it too, Andrew, but like, this team's not bad. Like, the bullpen for sure, I get it, but if we add Ben Joyce to that, kind of fixing it, make a trade here or there. The rotation's not horrible.
It's pretty good. Honestly, it's underrated. I think
every position is good, except maybe shortstop, and if we're bringing Zach Nato up, then we're good there.
And I think David Fletcher can keep that position for at least a half a year and you'd be fine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Fletcher or Rengifo as well is not bad.
I would not like him as a defender, but yes.
Yeah, Urshela's there. This team's not bad, I tell you, but the prospects aren't great either. Like, honestly, I know you have Nato and Ohapi at tier one, but that's honestly, people could argue that. I'm not arguing you personally. I like both of those players.
No, it's understandable.
NATO, but.
And again, I put these guys here. Like, I mean, so like I expect there's going to be push. There should be pushback. They're borderline tier one. I just like them enough to put them tier one. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. This team confuses me so much all the time.
Fair enough. I mean, the farm system is really improving. The development staff is light years ahead of it where it was 2 years ago. I mean, they basically are replacing most of their hitting coaches out in the system. So like you're going to get a lot of the hitting coaches. There's a couple that were lower level that did really well. So they're going to have that. So I'm hoping the development with the hitters take a step forward. Cause I like the development with the pitchers right now.
Do you think that a lot of the system's success just as of late is more or less based upon the injuries that have been going on? Because I'm looking down the list here, mm-hmm. you know, like Jordan Adams, that one hurts. Who else? Kyron
Joe
Harris,
Adele.
Wasn't
like,
he
come
hurts?
On.
Yeah. Warner Blakely, Jeremiah Jackson. I just feel like they've all, like, none of them have had, like, a full, like, two seasons strung together of, you know, non.
Well, so for instance, Warner Blakely, that's definitely a health thing. Right. And I can understand that because I can't say if it's a breakout or not, you know, because it looked great until he got injured for a second time.
Right.
Jeremiah Jackson, I just think he's a streaky hitter, to be honest with you. I think he's a power hitter and that's streaky. Kyron Paris, I think he got sucked into high A where he hits in Tri-City and no one hits in Tri-City. It's one of the worst places to hit in the minor leagues. And so some of the things got out of whack. He went down to the ACL in August, came back up and was on fire the rest of the season. You know, got moved up to double A and it was just insane. But there are some injuries and some poor performances. I just think that as we've gone in and more of Perry Manassian's philosophy of drafting hitters, not athletes, has started to take effect here. So that's why you're going to see some better players move up.
All right. I'm too confused with the system and this major league team. I need to take a break. So let's go ahead and do that now. We'll come back right after the break to talk about the A's, Rangers, and the Mariners as well. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we're back. Nate Eckert joining me. Of course, I'm Alex Sanchez. And then my special guest today, Andrew Rhodes. We just got done talking about the Angels and the Astros. And now we're moving on to perhaps the bottom half of the division, although the Mariners are certainly are on the rise. But the Athletics and the Rangers have not been too competitive last year or so. And the A's don't really show much hope going forward this year. They might have the worst major league team I've seen in quite a while. This side of Pittsburgh, they are horrific. I mean, if we take just really quickly. Okay. So when we talk about these prospects, because they're not that exciting either, by the way, these prospects we're about to talk about for trading Matt Olson, Sean Murphy, Starling Marte, Chris Bassett, like this is what they got to show for it. It's pretty pathetic, but this is what these prospects have to get to. You have to beat Jesus Aguilar at first, Tony Kemp at second, Jace Peterson at third, Nick Allen at shortstop, Seth Brown and Ramon Laureano, and maybe J.J. Bladé in the outfield. And if you're a pitcher, all you have to really do is beat out Paul Blackburn. And there's two other guys that are probably prospects we'll consider, like Fujinami and Walden Chuck. But like there is so many ways to get to the major leagues on this team. This is one of the worst major league rosters I've seen in years, Nate.
Yeah. I guess I hadn't fully realized just how bad they were until you just literally read the starting lineup to me. Yeah. You know, as you were starting to make your case for how bad the MLB team is, I was thinking to myself, yeah, they got rid of Matt Olson. Yeah, they got rid of Matt Chapman. Yeah, they got rid of this. They got rid, you know, it just keeps going. But I don't know. For whatever reason, it just seems like, you know, by the time August rolls around, they're going to be 10 games over 500. And Billy Beane's going to be making another run, you know, at a wild card or, you know, something. It just seems like the A's always have some sort of way to get, you know, into contention.
Okay.
But you're right. It is a terrible opening day roster.
Okay. So those guys you mentioned Chapman. I forgot to mention Chapman. It's a few years ago for sure. But don't forget Frankie Montas as well. When we go over these top prospects that they have, like Estuary Ruiz isn't on our. Oh, he had Estuary Ruiz at six. Okay, that's crazy. But that's Nick Leonardo. I'll have to talk to Nick. But when we talk about these guys, we're gonna Soderstrom's number one, drafted by them. Zach Geloff, drafted by them. Daniel Susek, drafted by them.
Drafted,
Ken Waldenchuk comes from the Yankees. Kyle Muller comes from the Braves. Ruiz comes from the Brewers/Padres, but like, shouldn't we have like all these top prospects from these other teams? Max Muncy drafted, Denzel Clark drafted. Like, what is the show for all this? And I know Shea is in the majors, but like, what were they doing?
Yeah. So I'm gonna have a controversial take. You don't sell off players for prospects. You sell off players, especially with what the A's are doing. You sell off players because you're getting ready to do a full rebuild and you want the top picks. It's kind of what the Astros did and what the Braves did.
Yeah, no, that's a great point, Andrew, and I'm glad you brought that up because there are good guys. Like I mentioned the depth chart because there's spots for these guys. Okay, let's talk about how good Tyler Soderstrom is. Definitely a tier one player for me. Ooh. Nate, tier one player for you?
Absolutely, without question.
Fantastic. He's not going to be a catcher. So get that out of your system now. Maybe you get 1 year of eligibility. He is not playing over Shea Langeliers ever. No. Maybe as a backup once in a while if you're extremely lucky. He's not good behind the plate either. But everything else about his profile screams fantasy asset. Go get right now. And don't let prospect fatigue hit you with him because he's been around for a while and he's been pretty highly thought of since he was drafted a couple of years ago, and he has done nothing but be impressive this entire time. 29 home runs in 2022 with a 267 batting average, 12 home runs, 306 batting average in 2021. Like, the fatigue is the only reason why you might not see him as high as he should be on some list. So do not let that happen. Scott and I kind of talked about Soderstrom in that special episode. He is so good, and he is probably underrated at this point. A lot of and as LA guys, we probably don't get this, but if you're not living in the West Coast, these guys do get underrated pretty quickly, whether you're on A's or you're on the Giants or you're on the Dodgers, not so much, but the
Mariners,
the Angels, Mariners, like these guys get underrated, especially if you're playing in a league, like if it's not your buddies and you're not in California and you're playing with all around the country, like Soderstrom can be had for very cheap, considering how good he is.
I mean, he's 20. And got to AAA.
Yeah.
20.
Yeah. He's so good.
And excelled at AAA too.
Yeah.
Not just, you know, getting there also.
Yeah.
Soderstrom is he's the real deal. No doubt about it. Yeah, and he just went what, like 3-for-4 the other day? I know it's spring training or whatever, but it's spring training, you know, and he's 21 years old. And he went 3-for-4, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he was a triple shy of the cycle, I think.
Oh. Right, yeah, thank you. Yeah. A triple
shy. The hardest part.
There it is. I mean, it's not like he's getting any worse.
No.
So, yeah, I would absolutely advise everyone to do their best to invest in Soderstrom, for sure.
Now, that's the only tier one player that Nick has, and this is one of the rare cases where I kind of feel like we should put Estuary Ruiz up at number one, in the tier one, I mean. Not ahead of Soderstrom, but Ruiz, for me, like, he is fantastic. Okay, as a Padre prospect, I got to see him for a long time, and he was always in the 20s and 30s for me. And every time I wrote him up, I said, he's making steady progression. The ceiling is there for him. He just has to work his way up to it. And that's what he was doing. He was going like low A, high A, double A. And it was slow, and it was nothing that's going to grab your attention until last year when he completely broke out. But it wasn't like this random thing that just happened. You could have seen it coming if you were following him closely, which, you know, for better or worse, I was following him pretty closely. And the things that he's doing are the things that his ceiling always suggested he could do. He's blazing fast. He has a fantastic hit tool. So if you want a guy that's potentially going to steal 30 to 40 bases on the low side with a potential of Corbin Carroll 50-ish, you know, stolen bases, this is your guy. Christian Pache is not going to get in his way. He's going to play, I believe, right away, or at least within a month. And stolen bases, we don't know how rare they're going to be. I think Nate and I sort of touch on that a couple of times the last couple of weeks, that they might be more than we ever have seen before, but they also might not. Who knows?
But the data suggests they're going to be about what happened in 2012, based on spring training data and how much we were running in spring and how much we were running then. So
what happened in 2012?
Who stole 50 bags? The rookie of the year, the MVP runner-up, the greatest player of our generation.
Mike Trout.
Yeah.
Ronald Acuna. Oh yeah, right. What do you think, Nate? Was Ruiz in your tier one? Do you think?
Before listening to your plea, no, only because he wasn't on my radar, if I'm being completely honest. But he did break out in a massive way last year. And this is how much I respect you, Alex. After listening to your reasoning, and I know that you watched him very closely, and the ceiling was always there. You did a great job of explaining. He's there. So to me, after hearing what you just said, I don't have any problem with it, because ceiling wise, if we're talking 40, 50 steals and a really great hit tool, and I'm assuming above average defense in the outfield, that's an all-star, and that's a few years, you know, that would be a tier one. So I don't have any problem with it.
So, Andrew, what do you think really quick? I have one last thing.
Sure. You kind of convinced me. I like looking at him closely. I love the contact ability. You know, with a guy like this, you want to make sure he makes contact, gets on base. So you've made a very, very, very compelling argument for that. And, you know, he did get a cup of coffee, but again, it's a cup of coffee in the big leagues. Anything can happen. And he's not blocked. He's going to have the green light because there's nobody on that team that's going to keep him from stealing, because there's no big boppers. There's nobody that you're like, yo, we don't want you to accidentally get out because, you know, this guy could hit a home run and win us the game. You know, there's nothing like that. So, yeah, I could see it. I like it.
Now, one last thing, like I said, the on-base percentage in 2022, now, he did have a very high balls in play average, which we could probably consider to go down, but with the speed, not as much as you'd think, but he had a 447 on base percentage. He improved the walk, and that was the thing that was kind of always holding him back. He took walks this year in 2022. And then finally, the last thing, how many stolen bases did he have in 2022, Nate?
73.
Andrew, over under on 73.
I'm looking at it. I can't say it.
All right. 85 stolen bases.
Oh, yeah.
I should have looked, but yeah,
wow.
It's a stupid amount. Absolutely stupid.
That is so dumb. Oh my God. 85? Jesus.
All right. Well, I'm glad we got everybody on the Estuary Ruiz bandwagon. Now, there are a couple other guys here. Let's go a little bit quicker. I think Jordan Diaz is an interesting player. He's probably going to be the second baseman. Like, honestly, I mentioned Tony Kemp earlier, but the problem is with Diaz is he's going to have like this empty batting average with no power and no stolen bases. So if you, but he's a middle infielder that's going to play every day, perhaps. So he's somebody to keep in mind.
I mean, second base is terrible right now. So
it is. Yeah. Kyle Muller, as a Braves fan, I feel like I can talk on him a little bit as well. I don't think you can get a better body type for a left-handed pitcher than Kyle Muller. The guy is completely yoked and he's 6'7". And he throws pretty hard, not like as hard as you maybe expect when you saw him, like, oh, this guy throws 100, but he's like in the 94, 95 range. Mm-hmm. Certainly good. The control's all over the place, but he's going to get a lot of chances there because I do feel like the A's need to prove that they were smart with these trades. So Muller is going to get a big chance. Same with Waldenchuk. Like, he looked pretty good last year at times, not at other times, not so much, but they're going to want to make sure, like, hey, look at, we traded this injured Montas to the Yankees and look at who we got. Yeah. Look at how smart we are.
Yeah, they definitely need to recoup some fan love after what they gave up for Olsen and Chapman. I think they got a lot of hate for that because they looked up and it was post-hype prospects or guys who you just felt were not to the level that you would get for those guys.
I know another guy at the Futures game we saw, Nate, Denzel Clark, hasn't really, though, kind of might be the high point for him is that Futures game.
Yeah.
So still keep an eye on him. I think he's like a super fun prospect to have and to follow. Yeah. Two guys down here. Let me see if you guys are high on these guys. I've seen some people be very, very high on them. We'll start with you, Andrew. Mason Miller. Gunnar Hoglund, any of those two scratch your fancy?
Gunnar Hoglund's always a name that's been around for a while. I mean, he's pretty far away. I don't really know. I mean, he did well for Mississippi, but he basically had, what, 8 innings? He's had 8 innings in professional ball. I don't know what to make of him yet.
This is sort of the range where we're getting guys that come from other systems. Freddie Tarnock, yes. Ryan Cusick, JT Ginn coming in. Mm-hmm. I like Cusick for a second. He's got great stuff. Freddie Tarnock's going to probably be a major leaguer for a while, too. Like, none of these guys are all-stars, but certainly they're going to be playing for them in some capacity.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anything else to say about the A's here?
Henry Bolt, I like him. The recently drafted outfielder he was a prepster, drafted over slot, $2 million, even though he went, I think, in the second round. A really great athlete. I like Henry Bolt. Great name, too. I'm a big proponent of great names leading to MLB success.
Hey, Nate, what do you think about Ryan Noda? He came over from the Dodgers in the Rule 5, and I saw him play in spring training recently. I thought he looked decent, but what can you tell me about him, seeing if he could stick around?
He's got really great power. Mm-hmm. But he reminds me a bit too much of like Chris Davis the Orioles, Chris Davis, who was incredible for that 1 year. And then pretty much the rest of his career was, a train wreck. But I'm not saying that that's what is going to happen to Noda. It's just that seems to be the type of player that he is. He does have a good eye, and that's why I think he reminds me a lot of Chris Davis, but I think he also strikes out a bit too much also, but he's got great power but he's kind of old also, sure. 26. But again, there's not going to be anybody blocking him at first base in Oakland. So nope. he'll probably get a shot. Will he run with it? I probably wouldn't bet on that.
Sure.
Man, so we went Darren Erstad, Chris Davis, and Aaron Rowland today. Look at that.
Who'd have thunk it?
Three of my favorite players, like, that are under the radar type of guys.
Yeah.
Love Chris Davis.
How about Logan Davidson, huh? He's fallen off, hasn't he?
Was he ever up? I
don't know. He was a first rounder, right?
Yeah, at the end of the I have an auto first Bowman of him, so I would like him too. But yeah. Let's move on to the Mariners, because as I'm looking at the Mariners here, the A's have a bunch of guys that if you need somebody, like we said, you know, Jordan Diaz to play second base for you, Hester Ruiz, like these guys are going to play right away. The Mariners are the exact opposite of that. If you like 18-year-old, 19-year-old guys that are years and years away but could potentially be like top 20 players in the big leagues, this is your system, because this is all it is nowadays. Everybody has graduated. They're in the big leagues. And all that's left are extremely risky, extremely rewarding type of players. No tier one players. No tier one players, according to PJ Benicio. I tend to agree with that. I mean, according to my rankings, I agree with that. I did manage to get Gabriel Gonzalez on my top 100. A lot of people had Harry Ford on their top 100, but certainly not a tier one player. And, you know, after that, there isn't really anybody that's going to manage a tier one. So I do agree with that. But, man, Gabriel Gonzalez, I think that, again, 19 years old, the things he was doing in single A as an 18-year-old, 116 WRC plus, 321, 7 home runs, 9 stolen bases, 2 years younger than the average age for the level. This is where you have to jump in, unfortunately, on these Tatis, Acuna type of players. Not saying that he's going to be one of those guaranteed, but you have to jump in now. The price is pretty high. It gets to the point where, like, you don't really want to spend that on a 19-year-old in single A, but you know, a year ago, he was kind of popping up. You got to jump on those types of guys. I can't say I fully believe in him, but I'm definitely worth gambling on him for a lot in a lot of my leagues. Because, again, he's not a top 75 prospect, but he's certainly somebody that could be within a year or two. He's fantastic in terms of talent. So keep an eye on him. But what do you think, Nate? Any tier one players for you on this list?
No, I don't think that there's anybody that I'd be willing to go out on a limb and say multiple, you know, all-star appearances. I like Gabe Gonzalez also. I drafted him in the Beat the Staff Prospect Dynasty League, the Prospects 1500 Dynasty League. So he's waiting in my farm in that league. So, and I'm pretty sure that I took him in, say, probably like the sixth round. So I paid a little bit for him. But for me, it was fun, you know. I think the obvious comp is, you know, for people dreaming on him is the next Jose Rodriguez. But, I mean, come on, let's be honest. There's only so many of those guys around.
Jose Rodriguez? Julio.
Julio.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did I say?
Jose.
Oh, Jesus. No, I'm sorry. Julio Rodriguez. We'll edit that one out.
No, we are not.
Julio Rodriguez. I'm not willing to go that far. But he's exciting. He's athletic. He can hit. But he's just young, you know. So wait and see. He's one of those fun guys. I love these youngsters. Like you were just doing the intro, Alex. This is my type of system, and I just so happen to have, you know, grown up in Seattle also, so that works. But I'm always excited about dreaming on the baby prospects, the youngsters, like Cole Young. I like, he's their first rounder from the 2022 draft. He had a really great pro debut, really good hit tool from the left side, pretty good shortstop as well. So he's exciting. There's a lot of guys in here that I like. Bryce Miller, he's got a howitzer for an arm. I read that. That was a quote from one of the pitching coaches of the Mariners. Throws like 98, 99 with crazy arm side fade and rise from a weird like three quarters arm slot. And Brian Wu, that's another one that's catching a lot of smoke lately. He had a great AFL, Arizona Fall League appearance. But I think more so than anyone, Prelander Baroja, the right-hander.
Yes.
Yeah. Right-hander who was in Double-A last year. I think he is going to be on par with like the next kind of like Framber Valdez slash he's a righty, so he can't really be Framber, but one of those guys who cracks the rotation and he stays and he ends up being a second or a third starter for the Mariners.
Love it. He's got a lot of helium as well. All right. I want to, we're at the point of this podcast where like you're listening at this point, we're about almost 45 minutes in. I got a dynasty startup league and I'm on the clock right now. So I want to get live picks in and help for you two. Okay.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay.
So sounds like fun. Let's do it.
It's a draft and you can get the major league or the minor league. So your call.
What round are you in? And who do you have?
Yeah.
I had the number one overall pick.
And you still haven't taken him?
Oh, no. I we're in like round 20 right now.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So is your team more heavily – where is it leaning? Is it more heavily MLB or prospects?
It's definitely – yeah, my oldest player is about 25, 26.
Good. So okay.
Not to take too much time up here. Basically, it's Andrew. I got back to back picks. Okay.
Okay.
So Royce Lewis, Jose Miranda, Josh Naylor, Aaron Ashby, Tamar Johnson, Joe Ryan. Pick two of those guys. Pick one. How about you pick one, and then Nate, you pick the other.
Yep. I'm gonna take the chance on a really good upside. I'm going to take Joe Ryan, believe it or not. That's...
Yes. Okay, good. I was looking at Ryan, so bam, we're taking Joe Ryan. Okay, Nate, who do you want from those guys?
Absolute no-brainer, Tamar Johnson.
Okay, Tamar, I love it. Let's do it.
All day.
I agree with that one.
I was going to maybe go Royce, but we'll do Tamar.
I mean, there's still concerns. He's coming off the ACL injury. I want to see how he performs there. Some risk.
Fantastic. All right, let's drift Tamar right there. You heard the sound. It's done.
Wow, that's great, man. Joe Ryan and Tamar Johnson back to back.
Yeah, we'll take it.
Got him.
Fantastic. All right, let's move on. Now, there's two other guys I got to mention here. They're going to fit the years away and probably will bust more likely than not, but still we need to talk about that is Lazaro Montes, who he has at number 9, and then also Felnin Celestin, shortstop, who was just drafted this last bonus as 17-year-old, but a $4.9 million bonus is certainly no joke. Those are two guys that you need to keep an eye on. Honestly, I don't want to endorse them fully and say you got to go get them, but you should at least do your due diligence on those two and see the price, who you'd have to give up. I mean, all of that comes into play. I'm not saying drop great guys to get those two, but man, if you like Gabriel Gonzalez, those two are right up your alley as well.
Oh, man.
All right, that's the Mariners. Let's go ahead and move on to our last one here, the Rangers. So out of all the systems, the Rangers is probably the best out of the AL West. And there are some guys here at the top I really, really like. This list was done by Brian Cox, longtime member here of Prospects 1500. Two guys in the Tier 1, perhaps not one of the guys that some of you listeners are thinking, because you might immediately think Jack Leiter. Not part of the Tier 1, which I 100% agree with. In fact, I put Jack Leiter 3 in this system. But Evan Carter and Josh Jung are the two cream of the crop for this Rangers team, which is already pretty loaded with some of those signings in the last couple of years. But Josh Jung, Evan Carter, they're going to be difference makers, and they are really, really good. What do you think, Andrew? Do you agree with Tier 1 for both of those two?
Definitely for Josh Jung and Evan Carter. I mean, yeah, I got to be honest. Yeah, that's definitely makes sense to me. Young guy, 19 in AA. He absolutely blew it up. Destroy the Sally Lee or high A. So I think it's good. I think this is good pick set for Tier 1.
Nate, you and I talked about Evan Carter. Love the approach, the patience. He is a major leaguer in terms of the approach, and he's 19, 20 years old doing this sort of stuff. Yeah. So, you know, there's not many safer prospects at this age than Evan Carter. So if you're a conservative type of guy but you still want the youth in a prospect, Evan Carter is your guy. Josh Jung, not much more to say. We've talked about Jung quite a bit throughout the years here. He's ready to go. We wouldn't even be talking about him if it wasn't for a kind of a freak shoulder injury, but that's behind him now. And he will be starting for them for a long time. I don't know if he's going to be a superstar, but I could see him having some really, really good seasons as well. I think he's just really safe. So again, prospects, like you said, if you're doing dynasty draft like I'm doing, and you want prospects that are really, really safe, are going to play for you right away.
Yep.
Josh Jung is the guy for that. But what do you guys think about Jack Leiter? We sort of talked about him on that podcast. I shared my thoughts with him. I'll let you guys go ahead and share what you think. Andrew, we'll start with you. Jack Leiter, Tier 2, number 3 in the system.
I think there's a lot of tantalizing there. I really am concerned with the walks. I mean, he wasn't exactly the command artist with Vanderbilt. So seeing him come to AA. Now, again, he is jumping from college to AA, which is a gigantic leap. It's a big deal. So I want to see those numbers, see if he can adjust to the league. That's the only concerning thing. Other than that, I'm all on board. I do agree, Tier 2, at least for the current or the present. Maybe in the future I could see him move to number 1 if he comes in this year and in the beginning, in the first half, and absolutely dominates.
Nate, true or false? The Rangers taking Kumar Rocker was the most surprising thing about the draft in 2022 for you?
Yeah, true. Definitely true. I liked Kumar at Vandy. Who didn't, you know, watching him strike out, well, however many, it was 19 or 20 or something like that, in the Super Regional, I believe, to get into the College World Series. That was special. I watched that entire start, the whole game, and he was electric. But I think that's what they were banking on, was that his skill set is still going to be there. But I mean, if I were to make a pick between the two of them, for me, it's Leiter all day. I love Jack Leiter. I've loved him since Vandy, even when he was a prospect coming out of high school. I remember watching a lot of tape on him before the 2022 draft. But just like Andrew said, I do not agree with the Rangers' decision to put him immediately in AA out of college. He threw a lot at Vandy. They always went to the World Series during his tenure. He had a lot of innings on his arm already, not to mention all the different travel leagues, et cetera, that he played in before he was at Vandy. So I think really he just got tired, and they did him a disservice by starting him in Double A, where I said this before, that's where, you know, it separates the men from the boys, and Double A has always been a proving ground for prospects. If they're going to make it, then they're going to have to get past Double A. And I think it was unfair, you know, frankly, to put him at Double A straight out of college. I love his makeup. I love his stuff. Again, his dad, of course, was a major league pitcher for eons. And again, I've talked about this before. I love the kids of ex-MLB players. And I like everything there is about Leiter. Sure, he's got some control issues, but I think more or less it's mechanical issue. I don't think it's the yips. I don't think it's anything more than a tweak, and I have no doubt that he'll correct it and he'll be back. He's only 22, so yeah, I like Leiter.
So I mentioned earlier that Leiter at number three was okay, but I've changed my mind because I forgot, because he is so low on this list. Justin Harris at number 11. I would have him on a fringe tier one to tier two player. I think I got him up to the 60s in my rankings. I love Justin Harris. Saw him at the Futures game. He looked like he belonged. He is going to be kind of that what we hoped Nick Prado would be, where, you know, first baseman maybe, but he's going to give you 20 stolen bases perhaps from that position, which is extremely valuable. You can't forget that in fantasy. Like, if you can get 20 stolen bases from your first baseman, and you remember when Freddie Freeman was doing that and like Joey Votto were doing that, like, it's just a huge boost. Even if it's not even 10, even if it's 7 or 8 and they're hitting 300 with 30 home runs, like,
yeah,
Dustin Harris is freaking good. And at 11 is pretty crazy for me.
Yeah, for sure.
He's fantastic. And he's Double A. He's done really well. Now, he did kind of, you know, he came out of nowhere a year ago. And he didn't have the greatest 2021 by any stretch. Although the on-base percentage was there. And, you know, the power speed's still there. So I think Dustin Harris is a nice little buy low candidate right now. I think people still have him on the top 100 in a lot of places, but he's a guy that I would not forget about in any stretch.
I got a comp for Dustin Harris for you guys. Another name to throw out, and being a Texas prospect, I think he's a bit of Mark Teixeira.
That would be nice. Yeah, that would be nice.
Yeah, that would be really nice.
I'm telling you, though, like 20 home runs, 25 stolen bases in 2021, 17 home runs, 19 stolen bases, 2022. Even if he's not a superstar first baseman, if he's doing that with the stolen bases, you can win a lot of leagues that way. So, like, go get him.
Yeah. Even,
like, the downside is you're kind of protected with him. All right, Andrew, let's see. Who else should we talk about? I think Justin Foscue is a guy that a lot of people are interested in. He's close to the major leagues. Cole Wynn is close to the major leagues as well. I met Antoine Kelly at the Futures game. It's so funny with him. He was really like, didn't know what was going on. I was like, hey, you're going to get in today? And he's like, I don't know. We'll see. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. You're just kind of here for it. It was funny. From the Milwaukee Brewers. Anybody else you want to talk about, Andrew?
Let me see. Who do I would like to talk about? Owen White. I mean, we haven't talked about him yet, and I think he had a fantastic year for them. I honestly think, like, if I'm going, hey, who's my pick for their next pitcher that they're going to bring up? and be a starter, I should say, because I could see Kumar Rocker be in the bullpen this year. I think it's got to be Owen White. I think he's more ready, definitely more ready than Jack Leiter. I think he can be really good for them. And with that rotation, there's a good likelihood that they're going to need pitchers because they have a ton of guys that haven't been able to stay healthy. And so I think it can be really, really good and somebody who should be picked up or at least on rosters.
Yeah, fantastic. I mean, you're talking about DeGrom and Eovaldi, Aaron Heaney, John Gray. Like, those are good players when they're pitching, but certainly injuries have plagued them throughout their careers. This is a team that does have some openings, right? I mean, you got Nate Lowe at first, seemingly pretty good to go. Seager, Marcus Semien at second. But after that, I mean, Adolis Garcia is pretty established. You have Tavares, Grossman, Bubba Thompson, Josh Smith, Brad Miller, and Mitch Garver. Like, there's some spots here for these prospects to come up.
Yeah, they've got a few players that you really like on the Rangers, and then a bunch of guys that you're like, I would probably want somebody better in that spot. It's not a very deep lineup, but it does have some good players in it.
Yeah, and the system isn't one that's going to be like, okay, just wait, like it's on the way. Certainly,
no.
You know, Young's already part of that equation. He's playing every day at the start. Evan Carter's not quite ready, maybe another year. But we saw it last year when, you know, Bubba Thompson and Josh Smith and Ezekiel Duran, these guys will come up and they'll get a shot. And, you know, Bubba Thompson had some stolen bases that you could take advantage of. And Josh Smith wasn't horrific. And maybe, you know, Foskey was going to be that guy this year. Or like you said, Owen White, Cole Wynn, Ragans is another pitcher down here, Cole Ragans. Trevor Hulver from the Yankees, he's going to be in Double A. He's probably close to being ready. Davis Wenzel's been in the system for a while. These are all guys that you might see in 2023 that could get extended playing time. So much like the A's, there are some opportunities here for these prospects. I do like the system better than anyone else in the division. Sorry, Andrew, but
okay.
The top just make it really excited. I mean, Evan Carter, Josh Young, and then I'm going to include Dustin Harris in that. Then you can include Jack Leiter. A lot of people would include him. So this is a good division or good team for prospects in a division that's relatively weak in terms of the minor leagues. But you know what? We're done. We did it. Nate, we got through all teams. We can start baseball season now. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, fantastic. Again, check out the special episode that we did. Nate, you were on that. And, we had a bunch of other writers as well. We went over the aggregate top 199, fascinating stuff to go over. It's a good list, good piece of practice as well. And of course, if you're interested in any of the other divisions, we have done extensive talks on them on the last 6 weeks or so. So moving forward, we are done. We're going to get back to sort of the 45 to 1 hour type of podcast. We got some predictions to go over. We got spring training stats to overanalyze. We got position battles that are going to be decided that we need to talk about. We're going to look at placements of players. We're going to go and make our give some preseason awards and all that sort of stuff coming up. So we'll continue on for the rest of the season pretty much with an episode a week for you guys with, who knows, maybe a special episode here and there. So, Andrew, we're about to sign off, but can you tell the people where to follow you in case they want some more Angels talk for Prospects 1500?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at @A_Rhodes, R-H-O-D-E-S, 77. And, you know, I talk about baseball, I love my memes, love my funny stuff. So, yeah, follow me.
Fantastic. All right, Nate, thanks for joining me as well. This is Futures Focus. A podcast brought to you by Prospects 1500. We will see you next week.